Could Japan lead the global economy out of turmoil?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Our special coverage on the economy continues now with a global perspective on business and economics. Today, a bit of good news out of Japan, a country ravaged this year by a natural disaster and an economy struggling to bounce back. More than 5 months after the devastating earthquake and tsunami there, the country reported today manufacturers are recovering strongly. The BBC's Roland Burke is with us now from Tokyo with the latest on that story. Hi, Roland.
Hi.
So tell me about this data and what it says about Japan's economy.
The biggest thing about Japan's economy is that confirmation that the country is in recession for the third straight quarter caused shares in Japan to jump in price this morning. That's because although the economy has contracted between April and June by 0.3%, that was much better than analysts and economists had been predicting. One of the reasons why is that manufacturing has recovered more strongly, more quickly than had been expected after the earthquake and tsunami back in March. Another big reason why is that the Japanese seem to be getting over their mood of self-restraint, the kind of shock after the earthquake and tsunami that made so many people shun the shops. That seems now to be wearing off and people are beginning to consume again.
How did they get there so fast, though, Roland? I mean, you understand that the economy is going to recover or try and bounce back anyway, but this is just months after this earthquake.
Well, it is pretty extraordinary for manufacturing and things like the auto industry to be getting back to normal. One of the reasons why, perhaps, is the pretty unique brand of cooperative capitalism that you have here in Japan. That means that for companies that were affected, those key component suppliers in the supply chain that were holding everything up, their parent companies, in some cases their competitors, and also their customers as well, sent staff along to help. And that is one of the reasons why those log jams were cleared so quickly.
Does a recovering Japan, Roland, help the global economy and maybe help the U.S. avoid a double-dip recession?
It certainly helps in the sense that this is still the third biggest economy in the world. But I think the effect is more likely to be the other way, because what is really hindering Japan is the weakness of the US dollar, the strength of the Japanese yen. The real fear is that this recovery after the earthquake and tsunami could be choked off by that. At the moment, the yen has been approaching its highs against the dollar, record highs since the end of the Second World War. And that really hurts Japanese companies. It means that their products, things like TVs that they sell in the United States, are just less competitive, and the profits they make in the United States are worth less when they bring them back to Japan. And in the long term, the risk is that if the yen stays high, Japanese companies will start to move more of their production abroad, hollowing out the economy here.
Does that really worry Japanese economists?
It worries economists. It worries the government as well, because they know just how important this is for Japan. This is a country that's relied on exports for growth. So anything that could damage that damages Japan in the long term.
The BBC's Roland Burke in Tokyo. Roland, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. Well, the Japanese news gave Asian markets a big boost today. Japan's Nikkei rose 1.3%. Hong Kong shares were up more than 3% today. European markets mostly higher at the moment. Home improvement chain Lowe's said today sales in the second quarter were weaker than expected. Its profit was flat, meaning people weren't doing much remodeling in this stagnant economy. Wall Street Friday, after a week of big swings, markets ended the day in positive territory, believe it or not. The Dow added 125 points to end the day at 11,269. For the week, and for all its big swings, the Dow lost only 1.5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. Healthcare coverage is supported in part by the California Endowment, a health foundation dedicated to expanding access to healthcare for all Californians. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
Well, in the past week, I've had to describe what the stock market was doing through all its ups and downs. You just heard me say big swings, right? I've also used the term whipsaw and roller coaster. Here's what it boils down to, though, the word volatility. And what exactly does volatility mean? And why does it matter? Here's Marketplace's Adrian Hill.
When we talk about volatility, we're talking about the ups and downs.
I like to consider the market kind of like being in a car.
Mark Sebastian is the head of Option Pit Mentoring and Consulting. He says calm markets are kind of like driving on a freshly paved freeway.
This past week has been like driving over the most pothole-filled, crumbly, horrible, rocky road that you could possibly drive over.
All that bouncing around, that's the volatility in the market. It's risk. Think of it like this.
Let's suppose I hired you for a job.
Charlie Whelan teaches at the University of Chicago.
And I said, look, would you prefer to be paid $50,000 next year for sure? Or would you like it that we'll flip a coin at the end of the year, and if it's heads, you get $100,000, and if it's tails, you get nothing?
He says both offers average out the same way.
But if you're someone with a mortgage and tuition payments, the fact that it may come up zero is going to be deeply unsettling.
Short-term traders love volatility because a moving price means there's money to be made buying and selling at the right time. But for the rest of us, the bumpy ride can make planning next to impossible. Whelan says volatility in the markets is caused, to a large extent, by all the things we just don't know.
There's just all kinds of fear and uncertainty. Nobody really knows where the economy is headed, so we tend to leap on and magnify the effect of either good news or bad news.
Italy's in trouble. Markets swoon. U.S. consumers bought more stuff. Markets jump. These are the potholes and rocks. To smooth the road out, Whelan says, we'll take figuring out what's going on with the global economy. But it's clarity that might take a while to find. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Our special coverage on the economic turmoil, by the way, continues now at marketplace.org. Check the numbers anytime, share the stories you hear on Marketplace, and right now you can see our very own Kai Ryssdal, who hosted an economic survival forum on public TV over the weekend. That video, by the way, is at marketplace.org, our website. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
How do you make economic sense of things right now? A downturn or a slow recovery? A blip or a double dip? And who knows best anyway? Financial experts? Newsmakers? Somebody? Anybody? Next time on Marketplace, the breakdown, our economy, one step at a time. That's from APM, American Public Media.